Okay, gotcha.
He was like, gotcha. Tonight on the Wizards. Yeah. And he does like nonsense like that. So, all right, we're rolling. We're recording. It's time for you to do your best, Matt.
Tonight on the Shining Wizards podcast, stuff. It's the Shining Wizards.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Zebra Kid Joey Janela, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast. Woo, baby! Yeah.
I have a small dick.
Diddy's got there. Woo!
Look who's back.
Woo!
Did I say luck who's back?
Luck? Andrew Luck who's back?
Yes. Luckety-duckety-doo. It's
Fuck
the two-man crew.
Woo!
Tony.
Just the two of us. You can make it if you try. Just the two of us.
Let you sing. I kind of like that.
You and I. Tony and Kevin.
Woo!
Bringing it back.
Shining Wizards two-man group where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about things.
Yeah, I know. We kind of did things a little backward, a little bit delayed in the start time, but that's okay. We want to welcome everyone listening live on The Rant, rantiumradio.com. Thank you to all of our Patreon things.
Fill it up with Patron, baby.
All right, let's do this off the bat because I feel like we always bury the lead.
What's that?
It was Cindy Ardone, Sean Toe. Kathy Hummer, of course.
Yes.
Manny
Big shout
Kratzo.
Out to the Humsky.
Which one of the Russinellas is it? Dan is the
Dan.
Cool one?
Dan.
Oh, God. Kevin, I think we're missing one, and I feel so terrible. God, I can't even open it. My computer's all...
I'm scared.
Computerfied? I don't know. It'll open up in a second.
Well, but, thank you to...
Everyone.
To be mentioned later. At a time.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. It's just gonna pop up.
You mentioned Kratzo, right?
Yeah, Kratzo, of course, Kratzo.
Hmm.
Mike Martinelli, that was it. Sorry, Mike, we give Mike the ring of the bell because
good old Italian bastard.
We like you, Mike.
Love it.
We like Mike.
Who doesn't
well,
like
that's
Mike?
Out of the way because I know we would forget it later. I know I would forget.
Oh,
it later.
I didn't even think about it.
So what's happened since last week's interview with Priscilla Kelly, Kevin?
Woo! Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oof. Picking up the steam.
Kevin knocked out an amazing presser.
Yeah. It's a transcript.
It was amazing.
It's a transcript. It's not a press release.
Well, it was well done. It's a press release. It says the following press release.
Well, what I do is a transcript. You turn it into a press release.
Well, don't give me all the credit. You did a bang-up job getting that stuff on paper.
Listen, man. You got to just ask the right questions. That's what it's about. Matt asked some great questions. You asked some great questions.
Well, you asked quite a few great questions yourself, sir. I'm the one that made you get disgusted by saying I thought it was really hot what she did.
Yeah, it was gross. Shout out to Priscilla Kelly. You're fantastic, although it was skeevy.
Isn't it ironic, though, that...
Don't you think?
Of course, but during the interview, she's like...
Come on, you didn't get that? The Alanis Morissette reference?
No.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little too ironic.
I was thinking of the skeevy line. I'm like, she's kind of dirty, but is she skeevy?
Yeah, dude, Jen, she don't care. She don't care about nothing.
Who, Alanis?
No, well, I guess, yeah, but her too.
Oh, you're talking about Priscilla.
They both don't, I guess.
That's the point I was getting to. The funny thing was she made...
And neither does Darby.
She made it clear that, like, oh, you know, like, I wasn't expecting, you know, all this to come out, and yet it got picked up. Not only by the UK Sun,
ooh,
but by the New York Post.
Hot topic.
How crazy is that?
It is pretty crazy. So, we're not published on the post though. Can we say that?
If
I wanted to apply for a job and I wanted to put something on my resume, could I put that Shining Wizards works have been seen on the New York Post and the UK Sun? Would that be a feather in the old cap?
Well, here you go. I did a search for Shining Wizards New York Post, and the first thing that comes up is ex-WWE star planned funny tampon stunt for months.
And you know what's weird is how every different outlet picked up a different part of the story.
Yeah.
Like they picked up she had a plan for months. Some others picked up that she's not worried about possibly never getting the call back to WWE.
Yes, that was the big one that I thought, but... Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the Post. They're going to go for the tampon. And then again, they also said that they borrowed the story, that it was published by the Sun. So this was the Sun's actual, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know. But,
which I guess is pretty common now in media, where reputable media sources credit other people and they just take their story.
Well, I mean, when we put out the press release, I say, hey, use it however you want. Make sure you give us credit.
Right.
And to their credit, Waka Waka, they did just that, which is fine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like we wrote an article. It's like, hey,
exactly.
Here's like you said.
They could have done this themselves if they listened to our show.
Yeah,
they could have typed up the transcript.
And some of the websites I've noticed lately have been doing that. Like I know 411 Mania will actually listen to like some of the bigger podcasts like Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard,
right.
You know, like Austin, Jericho, JR even. Like, they'll listen to those guys' podcasts and then come up with their own, you know, like,
yeah, which,
you know, Pritchard said this or JR talked about this and, you know.
100%. And hopefully one day we'll get there where people want to.
You would think after such a great literary construct that we
masterpiece.
Put together. It was beautiful.
Fucking Dickens couldn't have done it any better.
Priscilla Kelly's a star. Just by reaching into her groin.
That's it. That's all it takes sometimes. Sometimes you just got to listen. If there's any piece of advice I want to give anybody, man, sometimes you just got to reach into your groin. That's it. Just like reach into your inner groin and just pull out
Jesus!
And just pull out the best of you. Just do it.
Oh, good God.
That's what we found the name of the episode already. Your inner groin.
Reach into your inner groin. There we
Listen,
go.
Listen, I want you all. If I was a motivational speaker, that would be my speech. Just find your inner groin and pull it out.
Ugh.
And pull whatever you can out of it.
Ugh. Pull the string.
That's it. That's it.
Oh, gross. Did you ever you've heard that bit when Bubba Ray Dudley was on with Opie and Anthony and they had some ladies in the studio and one of them
wasn't like a titty thing?
Had her vagine and her bobs out and they all kind of knew it, but they were kayfabing it.
Vagine and bobs?
Yes.
All right.
You never heard of that? Bobs and vagines?
Nope. But I'm liking what you're putting
right,
down there.
Right.
I'm picking it up.
Kevin learned something new.
That's it.
And they were all trying to
run it
know.
Up the flagpole, see if it waves.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
So throw it in bed with Madonna, see if she sleeps with it. It's a Married with Children reference, folks.
Throw it on the porch, see if the cat licks it up.
Ooh, gross. Fuck, I wish I had one of Kevin's... Wait. There we go.
God.
I have so many puke noises on this thing. It's so unnecessary. You're
just reach into your inner groin. All right, so go on. I'm sorry I cut you off.
And I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, what the hell were we talking
about?
Yeah,
I really forgot. Holy cow. Sometimes tangents don't work out, folks.
Nope.
I don't know. Priscilla Kelly groins,
media news stories getting picked up,
published, picked up.
Can
things.
I use this on a resume? Do I need a new job? Is
well,
my life in shambles?
Well, I mean,
am I a terrible person?
You could say your article was, you know, your information. You were an investigative journalist.
That's right.
You are the Bobby Heenan of the modern era.
Ooh, wow.
Well, isn't that what he used to call himself? An investigative journalist?
No, journalist.
Yeah, that's.
No, but it wasn't. It was. I know exactly what it is.
Broadcast journalist.
Broadcast journalist.
That
yeah.
was it.
Yeah.
Well, you're broadcasting.
That's true.
You wrote something.
That's true.
It's got to amount for something.
Listen, we all did. The three of us.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Just the three of us.
Oh, okay. So you know what? We can move on real quick. Conspicuous by his absence, Matt is not with us, of course. It's the two-man version of the show.
No, Matt.
But Matt was nice enough to send us some research because Matt was watching wrestling like a fiend.
He's a crackhead when it comes to wrestling.
Well, now, not necessarily getting involved in that, but did you notice conspicuous by its absence in that paperwork was anything to do with WWE? It just goes to what he was talking about last week, where like he was
kind of... About how he hates it?
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, if you want, we could segue into what was Monday Night Raw and maybe some news and notes about the E.
I mean, I'll do whatever.
Well, let me ask you this. There was some programming this weekend, like NXT UK. Did you watch?
I watched it. Loved it.
Okay. Okay. So then you can fill me in if there was anything news or noteworthiest about the show.
Oh, the noteworthy. They saved the noteworthiest for the last.
Okay. So we're leading off with that. Okay.
Walter.
Is it Walter or are they calling him Walter?
Like, no, it's Walter.
It is Walter. Okay.
And I actually, I mean, we all heard about this signing a long time ago. I totally forgot about it. So it honestly came as like a legit surprise to me.
And he came out at the end of Pete Dunne's
excellent match with Joe Coffey. And came out, they did the old stare down. I think they did a handshake gimmick. I'm not sure. He kicks Joe Coffey right in the fucking face. And
who did Walter?
Walter.
Why am I saying Walter now? Now it's stuck in my head.
Now you're gonna. That's what you're gonna do now. You're gonna call him. Oh, you're in. Sometimes you just. That's your.
Smells like corn.
That's your inner groin.
It's my inner groin. My groinal region. Something's trying to get out.
I love TakeOver. The highlight for me though was the first match right off the bat, which was Mustache Mountain against Gibson and Drake. I think his name is Drake. Yes, and so.
Do you have a hard time going into this not really knowing the guys? Like, do you know the NXT guys from UK?
It's tough. I did my damnedest and my hardest to try to follow up every week, but they put out like three episodes a week.
That's crazy.
Like back to back, or maybe two. Maybe it's two. I forget. I'm sure Prince of Pro will get at us with that. But they do two episodes a week, and it's every week. So going into it, I wasn't as caught up as I was, but being that it's WWE,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure they were going to show a whole lot of packages on the show, so it would catch me up on what I needed to see going into it. So I wasn't too worried about that. Like, I know the whole story behind Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm. Toni Storm won the Mae Young Classic, but Rhea Ripley became the first NXT UK Women's Champion.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had a feeling, and I wanted Toni Storm. I thought Toni Storm should have been the first UK champion. But sometimes they like to throw us the curveball.
Yeah, kind of like when Jacqueline beat what's her name, Sable, to become the Women's Champion.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Things like that.
But like they always try to throw something in there to stick it to you. So they gave it to Rhea Ripley, who I can't tell if she's hot or not.
Yeah, you guys had a weird conversation about her the other day.
I think she's hot, but then like the next second I look at her and she kind of looks like Pete Dunne. It's weird. Like the hair is like exactly
so
the same.
So she's like a half and half pretty girl.
I think she is. Me and Matt talked about it. Pretty sure she's
Anne Hathaway. Sometimes she looks like a knockout and other times you look like you want to knock her out, you know?
Oh. Yahtzee.
I'm just saying.
Who are you, Kareem Hunt?
Well, if Rhea Ripley looks like Pete Dunne, don't you want to just punch Pete Dunne in the face?
I like Pete Dunne.
I like him too, but if you're, you know.
Oh, Jazzy, alpha female.
She was there.
Our dear good friend. No, she was just, did the whole NXT in the crowd stand and wave gimmick.
Good for her.
With Kaylee Ray.
Good for her.
I'm super excited for her. I'm sure Matt got a boner about it.
Of course he did.
So.
You know, Matt, Tony, and the other wizard.
What's, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We're such good friends, me and Jazzy, that she doesn't even know my fucking name.
Who booked her for Matt's birthday? Was it you or me?
Me.
Oh, you did. Yeah. So that's even worse.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said my name in every line of the DMs.
You're like, hey, it's me, Kevin.
Kevin from the Wizards. Yeah. Get back to me, Kevin.
Oh, God. Hey, I wanted to ask you. This was something I thought of as an aside. We'll get back to NXT in a moment.
Let's go all aside, baby.
We never told Matt who we were trying to book that never got in touch with us.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Pretty sure we did.
The guy that your friend was working on as well.
Oh, I may have told him in the car ride home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I since have not.
Well, that's okay.
Tried.
Well, if in case we didn't tell him or not, we were trying to book Todd Frazier.
From the New York Mets, who
Frazier Flav or whatever he is on Twitter.
We were close because I have a friend in the who used to work in the.
Well, you got a lot closer than I did. I sent them three DMs and I never got a response.
So, but my friend who would have been the best connection didn't realize how time sensitive it was. So I got in touch with her a week before the show asking, and then I got in touch again the day before the show saying, oh, and then she was like, oh, I didn't realize it was time sensitive. I just thought you may have wanted
that,
him
that was
at
the,
some point.
That was the blow off.
But you know what? It's good because Matt, I believe in the car ride home from here or from somewhere, he was like, I'm not even either. I'm not a fan of Todd Frazier, or I'm just giving up on the Mets. It was one of the two.
Oh, but yeah.
No,
but,
he wouldn't. No, trust me. He would have enjoyed it.
Oh, had Todd Frazier called in, yeah, he would have lost his mind. You know, Matt talks a lot of game, but, you know.
No, I think he would have. I think he would have popped for it, or at least he would have.
Like, who does Matt hate most in wrestling?
Me? Oh.
I mean, somebody else.
Bobby Lashley?
Okay. If Bobby Lashley called in this show, he might be an ass. Like,
no, wait, who does he? He hates somebody more. We just recently we've been talking about it. Who?
Bully
he hates.
Ray?
Maybe Finn.
Oh, is it Finn? I guarantee you, if Finn calls in, he's nothing but nice to Finn. He'll ask him in a round.
I feel like he'd be nothing but nice to Bobby Lashley.
Well,
too.
Of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'd be nice if Nia Jax called in. Not that it's ever happening. Oh, we'll get into all that. Don't you worry, sir.
Oh, we got a whole lot of stuff in the hopper, people.
Don't you worry. NXT, what's the other big news out of NXT? I'll let you...
Tag Team Champions crowned.
Yes.
I'm going to burp.
Was it Mustache Mountain's match that was the tag
titles?
Yeah,
that was my favorite match of the show.
Now, did they have...
Oh, Finn Balor did show up there, too.
And he wrestled who?
The ace, Devlin. Jordan Devlin,
okay.
I think his name is. Yeah.
Wait, isn't there an ace in Japan too?
His name is his moniker is the Irish Ace.
Oh, okay.
So
he's not the Ace.
No, Ace is Chase?
No, Ace. Tanahashi, isn't he Ace? Like Go Ace?
Oh, maybe. Is you sure it's guy? Not Oos?
Who? Oos.
Oos. Love you, Oos.
I read something recently where, and I haven't been following SmackDown, somebody was hitting on Naomi.
Dude, it's so weird. Like WWE is getting weird.
Okay, all right. You know what? We'll talk about all that when we get to Raw, because there's a whole bunch of stuff on Raw that we need to get to.
It's just getting very bizarre and weird.
So Mustache Mountain won the tag belts?
No, they lost.
Oh, they lost. And how do you have a team named Mustache Mountain not win the tag titles?
Dude, I love them. They're so good, and they came out wearing British Bulldogs tribute gear, like with the navy blue trunks and the red tights.
They actually tributed the guy that put a shotgun in his wife's mouth. Matt would love that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's neither here nor there. But they had the British. I popped for the British Bulldogs gear.
They didn't
mustache.
They didn't come out to the dun 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 dun. What the hell's that song called? It's a fucking famous.
God Save the Queen.
Is it God Save the Queen? I think that's what it is.
No, God Save the Queen is God Save Our Queen, right? Isn't that it? Aren't those the words?
Dude, I don't know. Our national anthem is about bombs bursting in air, so whatever.
About to drop a bomb on this couch.
Oof, I was dropping a few over here.
Attaboy.
It smells like corn on the cob.
Corn? Did you have corn on the cob?
No, that's the funny thing.
All right.
Like, if you bury something in your asshole and you fart into it and then you smell it, it always smells like corn on the cob.
You make a habit of doing that?
Try it at home, folks. Oh, wait. Matt says the episode says 406 doo-doo art. I guess I need to fix that on the on
why?
The
what episode is it?
This is 407. What do we call this one?
Your inner groin?
Your inner groin. Okay, so I'll do that. Yes, we'll do
so is he's listening now?
Yes, of course he is. He's got nothing better to do.
So why isn't he here?
He's probably at work.
Ah, gotcha. That's
you know,
right.
he just is in the process of, I guess, buying his house. So
he unloaded a whole... Did you see his that message he sent us with all of his action figures?
Yeah, he's getting rid of all his Jack stuff?
No, he's not getting... Well, his bone crunchers he's going to offer to me if I need them.
Bone crunchers?
Bone saw.
Whatever happened to him? I don't know. He just kind of disappeared, no? Oh, poor Matt's out in the cold. You know what? Everybody, send Matt at Bowman5150 on Twitter.
Send him
some love.
Send him boner pics.
Yes, please send him cock pics.
Send him boner
pics. But send him
pics.
His DMs. Don't get thrown off of Twitter.
That's right.
And
yeah,
see,
yeah, yeah. We
make sure
to.
He gets him at 11:30 tonight when he's laying in bed and his wife sees what he's scrolling through.
That'll go real well with the text I'll send all hammered later on.
Hey.
At like midnight.
How come you didn't do the show today? Did you get the press release yet?
Yeah, hiccups come across in text messages, Tony.
I'm outside in my drawers again.
Oh, what a waste. What an awful, awful night. I'm still not getting over that. I haven't found my core temperature yet.
What are you, like 97 now or 96? Still working your way up?
Yeah, I got a nice little cardigan on right now. So.
Or a cardigan.
What'd I say?
Carnegie?
Carnegie.
I don't know what you said. Yes, Kevin's comedy, he's performing at Carnegie Hall.
That's it. That was the best way to get to Carnegie Hall. Practice.
Oh, boy. Matt's threatening us now. If I get boner pics, you guys are entering a world of pain. Yeah, it's called frostbite, kid. Put some drawers on.
That's right. What's his personal Twitter that he never uses?
Yeah, at Bowman5150, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. No, send him like rooster pics to be silly, like a goof. Like, oh, here's a pic of my cock.
Send the pictures of Terry Taylor.
And Frankie. Send him pictures of birds in wrestling.
R.I.P. Frankie.
Why, Frankie died? Oh, Frankie died a long time ago.
Yeah, remember when his Coco Beware's house caught on fire and Frankie died in it?
I had dinner! Woo!
It's fucking great rotisserie chicken.
Oh, my God. Frankie!
R.I.P. Frankie. But, yeah, Matt's putting up his he has quite a collection of the Mattel wrestling figures that I'm, or Jax or whatever they
are. And, yeah, he might be selling some wrestling shirts, so we'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, he said I could have the ones that don't fit him, but I'm a medium, and yeah. I don't think I could fit into a triple X.
Oh, boo! Wow.
He's gonna kick my
ass.
He's
gonna beat your ass, dude.
I am never getting a ride from him ever anywhere again.
My phone's gonna start vibrating about 20
seconds. Oh, I guarantee you it's gonna go off right now.
Oh, good Lord. This is what we came here to do tonight, Kev, just to piss Matt off while he's listening.
He never
should have let me know there was a problem with the feed.
There was? Is that,
well, no,
that was his first text?
Because it had last week's episode on there, due to art.
Due to art.
Yes.
I love, it was pretty surreal seeing that in on other people's websites.
Yeah, for this and more, including an interview with her husband,
Darby
Allin.
Listen to Doodoo Art.
Episode 406, Doodoo Art.
Ah, beautiful.
That was the one thing Kevin was so upset about. It's like, man, have we called the episode Doodoo Art?
Well, it was my idea.
I know.
It was my idea for the name of the show, but when we send it out to all these media places,
you were so bummed.
I'm like, wait, is it just in the link, or did you actually say, please listen to Doodoo Art? Hi, my name is Tony from the Shining Wizards. Dave Meltzer, can you please post a link to Doodoo Art?
Dave Meltzer, Doodoo Art. Shit, I want to rename this week's episode Dave Meltzer, Doodoo Art.
I want to name every episode Doodoo Art now.
That'd be great to have a streak like that. We did that to the professor. We named an episode after him using his real name.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
It was Pat Cobb's idea to name every episode after that his name, just to get him to listen, and then we'll stop. And he got in trouble with the principal of his school.
I remember that. Ah, love the professor.
Yeah, professor's awesome. We need to get him back on the show.
Is he going to Mania?
Probably
I don't think
he leaves his house unless it's to go to the tavern. So,
my kind of.
Well,
professor.
I'm surprised you guys don't hang out more often,
because I don't think I'd be able to handle
his
crazy
nonsense,
eccentric wrestling ideas.
You could call it nonsense. It's okay.
Ah, I'm not gonna do him the disservice of calling it nonsense, but I'm not going to call it his doo-doo art.
Okay, so that's
NXT UK.
Yes.
A lot of fun. Like I said, Finn Balor made an appearance. What I took away from the show, I really like the Kiwi Buzzsaw, Travis Banks. I'm totally riffing here.
Yeah, you're speaking Chinese because I have no idea what you're talking
about.
So
Travis
keep
Banks,
going. You're good.
Kiwi Buzzsaw, I think is awesome. And that's when they did the gimmick with Jordan Devlin. He beat him up. And then Johnny Saint and Sid Scalia came out and introduced Finn, who Matt hates. And then Finn, of course, went on to have a bigger night on Monday Night Raw.
We're getting there.
But yeah, Jazzy showed up. Walter showed up. NXT Tag Champs, new NXT Women's Champ. Pete Dunne and Joe Coffey had a fantastic match. I'm sure there's a whole lot more that I'm missing.
No, I think you covered pretty much everything. Those are like the main points.
Yeah, it was a fun show, and again, we always say this every week. There's just so much wrestling to watch when you include now Ring of Honor and of course the All Elite Wrestling press conference and everything that's happening there. So NXT UK does fall behind, but they just opened up the Performance Center there. So it's going to be, they're going full bore with NXT UK and making it a stronghold of professional wrestling in the UK. I'm excited. Rumors that Australia is next.
Shane McMahon talked about global product like a decade ago.
Makes sense.
But this was like his vision. Like he's like, we're taking this worldwide. We're going to have a WWE everywhere.
It's so weird because then you see pictures on social media. Like I think Ryder put one on of NXT Orlando at a house show, which literally was like, you could see like the high school basketball hoop in the background.
That's awesome.
So like, it's like WWE is now, it's independent wrestling.
Okay. That was the point that I wanted to get to with the NXT UK. A lot of people online, even in our Facebook circle, are saying, don't spend money on WWE UK when you can pretty much see all these guys working at Progress.
Not anymore.
So are they exclusive?
Most of them are now.
Really?
A lot of these guys are finishing up their dates with all these companies.
Okay.
Maybe a select few that they might have working relationships with. But I'm not even
100%
sure.
But they're working with Progress, no?
Yes. And again, I'm not 100% sure on that. But from what I understand and what I gather now is that all these guys are finishing up with these respective companies and are strictly going to be UK NXT unless they get maybe some sort of permit. I don't know.
All right. So. Because I was starting to wonder if it was going to become a deal now like that Evolve has, where every once in a while you'll see a WWE guy or two.
I could see that.
Because Chris Hero's working for Evolve or worked for Evolve recently.
Dude,
no?
So is this Friday. I believe Gargano's working there. The Street Profits are working there.
Is this the show that the Street Profits wound up not wrestling with LAX because LAX got pulled?
No.
Or was that a while ago?
I don't know if it's the same show, but the Street Profits are both wrestling singles matches.
Oh, okay. Well, then
so
it definitely
Eddie Kingston. It's Eddie Kingston versus Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins versus somebody else. Former guest of the show, Joe Gacy, is going to be on the show in a non-title match against the WWN champ. I'm excited. Me and Matt might actually go to this show. So... I'm looking forward to it if we do. If not, I'm looking forward to hearing about it. And
yeah.
Got to get some Gray's snacks to bring to Gabe to bribe him.
You got to bring me some more Gray's.
I don't
work
there
over there yet. I know you don't, but you sound like you got a hookup.
I got a hookup if I wanted it.
Some of them chili lime fiesta.
You know what? I might actually maybe I'll hit up my guys tomorrow.
That's my jam. I love that stuff.
I love that shit. I know Gabe loves the Grays, so if I can bribe him.
Oh, that's why you're getting it.
Oh, of course.
Oh, man. Fucking. I wish I had Homer pulled up, because I'd give you a big fat.
Boo!
Gabe Sapolsky over your boy.
How do you. You with your pizzas for fucking Turnbuckle Throwbacks over us.
I actually bought a pizza for dinner. I was going to bring it down here and take pictures of it in front of the equipment since Matt wasn't
since
here.
Matt's not here, you're going to get pizza.
Matt never brings me a pizza. Hey, like
we've
apples.
Had this discussion.
I
it makes
know.
No sense for him to bring pizza.
He could still. It's the thought that counts. He could still bring me a pizza.
We're just going to put it in your popcorn maker?
We could put it in a microwave to really piss him off.
I guess you do have a microwave down here.
Can't put pizza in the microwave, idiot.
Dude, I put...
Sorry.
I put pizza. I love pizza in the microwave.
I'll eat pizza out of the microwave.
I put like chicken parm. We got chicken parm from this place. I got leftover chicken parm. Put it on a sausage mushroom pizza. Boom.
You know what?
Chicken parm, mustard, and sausage pizza.
You know what the best is?
Sausage.
I just figured this out recently.
Tomato.
I bought parchment paper. Do you know what that is?
Is that the stuff that you put in like your dresser?
No. It's the stuff that you use to bake or to cook or to put stuff on. Like,
is it like. Wax paper?
It's like wax paper without the wax, and you can put it in the oven, and it doesn't burn. Like,
so they take
crazy.
Out the wax and put in the... What's parchment? What does that even mean?
Parchment's
sounds like it's
paper.
Thirsty.
Parchment's paper. It's another word for paper.
Oh.
You don't remember like papyrus? It's like
papyrus.
Just another word for paper.
Papyrus the virus?
But yes, exactly. But you bake on this stuff, and if you want to reheat stuff like chicken parm or pizza, you put that shit in a toaster oven, you put that underneath it.
No baking pan, just parchment paper?
No, you can put it in the pan, but you put the paper on the pan.
Put the paper on the pan, and put the parm
crispy,
on the paper,
dude.
And the palm
oh,
on the paper.
Oh, man,
the paper,
and, then the, and then the parm pan. In your belly.
The parm paper pan.
Yes.
And your inner groin.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It's so good. I'm baking cookies on that shit that come out extra
You're
crispy
a big
now.
Baker.
Oh, I've been losing weight, Kevin.
What's that?
I've been losing weight.
I see that. Send Tony boner pics.
Yes, please. It's at Kevin Garifo.
That's not.
Send him to at KP Burke Socks.
Yes, at KP Burke Socks.
Make sure they have like a wrestling related thing.
Wrestling related boner.
Or send boner pics that have loser written on them. That would be funny.
And make sure you're American.
Yes, with an American flag wrapped around your inner groin.
That's right. Shout out to KP Burke, American Jeez. Loser Podcast on the Shining Wizards.
I really actually enjoy it. I'm surprised more people haven't gotten on that bandwagon yet.
It's too intelligent for me.
But it's funny. Like his dad's smart, but his dad gets the jabs in there and He's got this guy called the Big Kahuna. Do you know the Big Kahuna?
I do not know the Big Kahuna.
He works down at the studio, I guess, for like Ming Chen and those guys.
All right.
So he's always because he's always working the board. So like he chimes in and whatnot. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's way too intelligent. I prefer the lowbrow humor of the Dumb Fellows podcast.
Have you listened to the Bumper podcast lately?
Yes.
Good. I really enjoy it. Bumper I was kind of afraid when Natty told me he was like looking to working with the network.
I just want to have my podcast on your show, guys.
Oh, Natty, you're here.
Oh, hi.
I can't do it. He'll get so mad.
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted to have an outlet for my brand new show. It's about puppets and horses and stuff and things.
Yeah, listen, I mean, like, I know we play the commercial break, but there's a lot of great shows we have involved with the network. I think we're back up to 10 shows now again.
That's right.
Well, except for maybe the Ghetto Geek Squad, which hasn't done an episode in 6 months, so I'm kind of wondering when somebody's going to jump on that.
And we haven't done a show. The Dumb Fellows haven't
like
done a show.
Like a month.
Yeah.
Like Christmas was your last show, wasn't it?
I think we released one.
Oh, you did one for New Year's? Week. Oh, so you're not that bad.
Well, we're bad because we haven't recorded. Normally, we would have recorded yesterday, and we didn't do it.
Well,
so
it is what it is. It's a cold time of year. Yesterday was pretty cold.
That was fucking.
No, it was cold yesterday morning, dude.
No,
I was
you guys
freezing
are fucking
my
weak.
My inner
all of you.
Frozen.
You hear me? You're all weak.
Who the Dumb Fellows?
Dumb Fellows.
Yeah, they're all retarded. Well, I'm just saying.
No,
they are.
We're going. We're going on the road.
Oh, for real?
Well, for one show.
Yeah, but that should be a thing, like the Dumb Fellas on tour.
That's what we're thinking about doing.
There should be no thinking. You should absolutely do
it. Well, there's not thinking, there's logistics.
And you know how McDonald and Carney's like a tandem? Mm-hmm. You should like end the show with all five of you on stage, like doing like some silly things.
Improv is stupid.
No. Have you ever seen that show with Drew Carey?
That's what they do.
Improv
it's not
is,
stupid. That was
awesome.
A weird word. Because they're really good at it.
I wish I had chops for improv. Improv's fun.
I did.
You could. You know what? If you
I've told this story before. I did UCB for a little bit.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And it's fucking hard.
Now, did you do it with Gethard? Were you
no.
there at the same
Gethard
time?
No, Gethard was already graduated, and Gethard was a teacher at that point.
Gotcha.
But I never had him as my coach.
Okay. You ever work with like any of the big grads from there or anything like that?
Oh, God, if I could. At the time,
the
they
only
were
one
big.
I can think of is Amy Poehler, right?
Amy Poehler, who I did work with Amy Poehler when she did Ass Cats on Sunday
Night. Ass Cats?
That was the name of the show, Ass Cats. It was her. It was all basically the originals.
Really?
It was her. It was.
And you did this show with them?
No. I just worked like with them.
Yeah, but
still,
you were involved.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking
like
amazing.
Like once. Maybe once I did it.
Kev, don't undersell it. Come on.
I'm underselling it.
You worked with Amy Poehler. She's hot, dude.
She was awesome at the time. She was just.
Well, she's no good now?
I haven't seen anything that she's done lately.
Amy Poehler.
What has she done lately?
I don't know. She does the guy from Arrested Development. Is she still married to him?
I have no idea.
You know who I'm talking about.
Jason Bateman?
No, the other guy, the other brother.
From Another Mother?
No, not David Cross. Who's the other comedian that was on there? Really?
I don't know. Oh, I never watched Arrested Development.
He played the magician guy. Fuck.
David Copperfield?
His name was Job or, yeah, Bluth. Let me see.
Job Bluth. That sounds right.
Job. What the? You're gonna die when you hear his
name.
No,
I'm not because I never watched the show.
Ah, Will Arnett.
Ah, I like Will Arnett.
Oh, yeah, I like him. I like his wife even more.
I ran into him every now and then, and he kind of reminded me of
David
Cross.
You didn't even know who he was.
Well, I didn't know he was on the show, but I know Will Arnett.
Yeah, dude, I forget what David Cross album I had. Somebody had it might have been Bowman.
You know what I saw?
What?
When I was like rummaging while you were helping your kids study.
What?
You have all these like Don West CDs.
Oh, that's stuff that Mega Powers gave me.
I was
like
Wrestling what?
Is Gay volumes 1, 2, and 3.
I was like,
four.
What the fuck is
yeah,
this?
Like, he must have been on a creative streak for a while because he made all these like DVDs and music CDs of all wrestling stuff.
I was looking at like this is funny.
You should take him home and check him out because
I don't think I have a CD. Oh, in my car, I guess.
I forgot what's on them. I have no idea what's on them. They just collect dust back there.
Do you have a copy of the Wizards album? Because I lost mine.
The Wizard's album?
Remember the Wizard? Remember the Wizard? Bob? R.I.P. Bob?
His album?
He had an album.
Oh, Christ. With all the Christmas
songs? With all
music?
The Christmas songs on
no,
it.
No, I don't think or I do.
No, he actually had a... I don't know if the Christmas album was the actual album. He may have had another album.
I think Baza and I wound up talking about him online the other day, and I was like, I missed that Seven-Toed Bastard.
Oh. Fucking bring us chicken parms at SWF shows.
Yeah, for those of you who are new to the show, the Wizard was what was his last name? Bob
Puglisi.
Puglisi. Yeah, he was a guest on the show. He did the show once, a
couple times, I think.
And well, but I mean, he was an actual guest like one time, yeah. Or like he got interview time and everything. But he was one of the regulars. They used to go to PWS and WrestlePro shows, and he was pretty close to like Kevin Matthews. I think Kevin used to like look after him.
Pat. Mark,
yeah, well, they all did,
Bryant,
but Kevin was the one.
Molly.
That relationship between him and Kevin was something else, man. That was good stuff. But yeah, he was like a regular, and he always like would bring food and stuff, and like, and he loved getting put in full Nelsons. He had like an old man fetish.
It was so, very bizarre.
So that like that was the thing. Like he would like pay people like literally to put
him to his apartment and put him in.
Yeah, he.
This is for the new listeners. Matt's probably.
Matt's
crying.
Probably like, why are you talking about the Wizard?
Yeah.
We just want to catch people up as to what a character he was. And boy, he was a character.
The best.
So at one point, he had Christmas songs that he sang or some nonsense. He used to like sing karaoke at the bar after the shows, no? This is fun, Wizard stories. We haven't talked about the Wizard in like 2 years.
My laptop had the album and it was like, and my laptop has since been fried and it's dead. And I had all the songs on it. And, it was like he would sing oldies. He would sing a couple Christmas songs, and it was just other great shit. And it was hysterical. And there was a time where like we would play for like 4 or 5 straight weeks on the show. We'd start playing songs in the background, and everyone would get so mad at me.
Well, I'm sure he loved every second of it. This is the Wizard, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards.
He called me a weak man of hate.
Yeah. Well, because you talk shit about him, didn't you?
I didn't talk shit about him.
Oh, I did, and he thought it was
you. He confused us.
That happens a lot.
That's true.
Tony and Matt and everyone else at the Wizards.
Come on, Jazzy.
Hey, do you have any quick news and notes and bites and tidbits from Matt's thing that we could rip through? He's got paragraphs here, and I appreciate like the in-depth writing, but I feel like if we just sit here and start reading his notes, do you know who Seema and the Stronghearts are?
I mentioned this last week when they did the...
But I think he said you mentioned the Beefhearts or the Bravehearts or some nonsense.
I don't know what I mentioned.
I don't know, but...
But it was this group.
They're from...
China.
They're from the Oriental Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah.
Wait, just real quick. Okay.
All right.
But that's coming from China, so it's not us being pigs.
No, it's...
Because you can't say Oriental anymore, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think you just did.
I know I did, but it's like not respectful to say Oriental. I don't know. Like Oriental, like I always just thought was like from the Orient. Like I don't.
I was about to say, wasn't a train named after it?
Yeah, and like carpets and stuff. Like you go to the store, do you buy an Asian rug? No, you buy an Oriental rug.
No,
right?
What's it called? Is it? Yeah, yes, it is an Oriental.
It's an Oriental rug. I mean, like I wouldn't be insulting to like Chinese people and call them a rug. Like, get over here, you rug.
No, God.
You know, God forbid.
Brutal.
Wouldn't want to go to hell for something like that.
Brutal savage.
Yeah, but I don't know. So it's the Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, which is just weird on so many levels.
Yeah, they had announced that signing at the press conference.
So the stable includes, I have no idea who these people
are.
No,
I have no idea who any of them are.
T-Hawk Yamamura and Lindemann?
I think he's the...
I don't know. It's Seema's group. They're in all
Yeah,
Elite
Seema
Wrestling
is the...
Seema.
Seema. Sounds like an insurance company.
All right, the War Raiders are finally getting another shot at the Undisputed Era at TakeOver Phoenix. I guess it's going to happen Royal Rumble weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a whole bunch of things, but if you know as well as I do, the War Raiders have been chasing after the Undisputed Era. They won at War Games over the entire Undisputed Era.
Yeah, them, Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and Aleister Black?
No, it was a four. No. It was 4-on-4, wasn't it?
No, it was 5-on... No, it was 4-on-4. Yeah. Ricochet...
And Shayna Baszler's defending against Bianca Belair at that show?
Yeah.
Do you know Bianca Belair?
I do.
She's hot?
I'm a fan.
Cool. Is she going to win?
No.
I don't know. Shayna Baszler just won that belt back.
She's undefeated, Bianca Belair, so it's a pretty nice little story going into it.
There's too many undefeated storylines going on in NXT.
Who else is undefeated?
I don't know. Wasn't Asuka undefeated?
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago.
I don't know. Aren't the War Raiders undefeated?
Yeah, but you could
they are?
I don't know, but you could be undefeated and not make it a focal point of the storyline.
Everybody's undefeated. Oh, this was something that was interesting that we should bring up, and actually I kind of knew about this.
Lay it on me!
Tournament, Royal Rumble weekend at Access, NXT, NXT UK 205 Live.
That's right.
The WWE Worlds Collide Tournament. 15 guys, 5 from each division, and the winner gets an NXT, a UK, or a 205 Live title shot of their choosing.
That's weird to me.
So you could have a 205 Live guy go, I want to go over to England and I want to challenge Pete Dunne. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's just weird, though, if that's the stipulation, because...
What's the stipulation?
Because look at the guy... I'm reading the list of guys from NXT that have been announced.
Well, I know Ultimo Ninja is not going to be
Keith
in
Lee match. Can't get a 205 Live title match.
Well, maybe he's not going to win. I don't know.
Like, Otis Dojovic can't get... Or Dojovic can't get a...
But he can get an NXT UK title match.
Of course he could, but if the stipulation that you just read is true, I don't...
Look, all I know is I'm looking at 205 Live, and I see Drew Gulak's name there, so
I'm hoping
he wins. I'm hoping he wins.
Dominic Dijak, or Dijakovic.
Dominic Dijonki.
As he's now known.
Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Dominic Dijakovic, Jakovic Offovic, Limitless Keith Lee, Otis Dozovic.
That's the guy from Heavy Machinery, one half of Heavy Machinery.
Oh,
the big weird dude that showed up on Raw.
We'll get there. Yeah. Don't put the cart before the horse,
I'm
Kevin.
Just saying.
From UK, Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, and Zach Gibson. 205 Live, Ultimo Ninja was supposed to be in there, but something happened with him. I don't know.
No, because he has his debut is coming.
Oh, okay. So he's not there yet. Okay. Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and TJP. All names that we like. So I'm looking forward to that. That sounds like it's going to be something huge.
But it's access.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. They're apparently recording all this to air as a special on the network.
All right.
So we're going to see it eventually.
I can dig it.
You know, just hope the slobs aren't walking in and, like, you know, not paying attention, because it sounds like it's going to be good. You talked about the UK Performance Center, 17,000 square feet facility. Triple H says it's going to be awesome to train at my facility.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
Going to be a hog pen.
I don't know. There's some Ring of Honor stuff. Bandido's going to be wrestling Flip Gordon at the Road to the G1 Supercard in Dallas.
I think they just wrestled.
Oh, did they? It says here Thursday, January 24th. I don't know.
I thought they wrestled at the... North Carolina show, but
they may have. Oh, it looks like they're gonna be wrestling all these dates.
But Flip Gordon got hurt.
Oh, do tell.
Flip Gordon is out for about a month.
Flip
with an MCL sprain.
Oh, Flip.
And as is Chris Sabin with probably his third ACL tear.
Oh man,
of his career.
I put my hand upon your hip when I flip, you flip. We
all right?
Nothing.
I'll allow it.
All right, cool.
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, so there's some Ring of Honor stuff. NWA's partnering with Ring of Honor for the Crockett Cup, apparently. April 27th is when they're going to have that.
Love it.
And, I don't know, there's a Tag Team Wars tournament during the Road to G1 Supercard in Texas. 12 tag teams, and the winner gets an ROH title shot at the 17th anniversary show March 15th.
Giddy up.
And a spot in the Crockett Cup on April 27th.
Crockett!
NWA is actually teaming up with Ring of Honor for that one, so that's kind of cool. Billy Corgan, he's a smart man.
I like that relationship that they got going.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, did you know that Frank Mir is going to become a professional wrestler?
He's already booked, I believe.
Yes. He's going to be wrestling at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport on April 4th.
That's a Game Changer wrestling show, correct?
Yes. Okay, you're right, GCW. He's 39, no opponent's been announced yet, but apparently this Bloodsport is, whatchamacallit? Josh Barnett? Yeah, Josh Barnett's company. And it's structured like the movie Bloodsport. There's no ring, there's no cage, it's a platform, and it's like a hybrid of MMA and wrestling.
Is someone going to pull a tampon out of their inner groin?
Oh, I hope so. I really hope. I hope Josh Barnett pulls out a muffler and go, did you get your muffler, daddy? Fucking gross.
Really? It's going to be set up like Bloodsport?
That's what it sounds like here. Yeah. It's promoted as a hybrid wrestling and MMA show with no ring, ropes, finishes by knockout or submission, and a look and feel based on the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Last year's show was headlined by Riddle versus Minoru Suzuki, and then he's got a bunch of other stuff like Nick Gage versus Thatcher, Walter versus Tom Lawler. I don't know if that happened already or if that's stuff that's coming up, but it says Tom Lawler, Jonathan Gresham, Timothy Thatcher, and Hideki Suzuki are going to be on the show. So... Interesting.
I give a lot of credit to GCW, man. They know how to think outside the box.
Very interesting stuff. And one last bit of tidbits, news and notes is The Kevin Garifo truck driver is going to be plying his trade on the grandest stage. Trevor right. Lee announced that he is going WWE bound, baby. He announced it Saturday at CWF's Mid-Atlantic show in North Carolina. And he got a rousing round of applause and a You Deserve It chant.
I like Trevor Lee.
I do, too. I think he needs to kind of shave his chest a little bit.
No. Let it grow.
I don't know.
Show the boof.
So, yeah, apparently he's defending his title in one of his last matches because he's the CWF Mid-Atlantic champion in a six-pack scramble. So I don't know if that means that they're on his team or if it's going to be like all six men for themselves. But let me see. What else? I don't know if it has people listed. Oh, maybe this match happened already? Yeah, it did. But I don't think he lost the title. I think it's coming up that he has more matches. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
But yeah, shout out to Trevor Lee.
Absolutely.
Had a rough year so in 2018, so good for him.
Big things happening. Big things.
Big things.
And there's a lot more big things when we come back from commercials. We got to talk Raw. We got to talk newses and noteses. And we're starting to build toward the Royal Rumble.
Woo!
But Kev, as we always say,
back after this.
Hey, I know what you're thinking. Valentine's Day is coming. You need to get your significant other a gift. Whether it's a man, woman, or whatever he, she, or Zivzer wants to identify by, you can find any gift you're looking for by going to Amazon. But don't go directly to Amazon. No. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as always. And your love for your significant other will get a little bit into our pockets. It'll help us out. It'll make us happy. And it'll make you happy. You'll be falling in love all over again. But this time, it's with the Shining Wizards.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No. It's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or The Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Thank you.
How much did you watch ECW when you were growing up?
When
you
I was,
were you a huge fan? Did you watch it on MSG late at night?
When it was actually on, I would go out of my way to try to find it late night.
I tell you one thing right now. I listen to this music. This is Shane Douglas' theme, by the way. It's Perfect Strangers at Deep Purple. The music made that show. The music they had for every single wrestler was amazing. Amazing. Pop one open for the Sandman.
You know it, baby. Kev Weiser it up.
But every single, like, Taz, War Machine, Shane Douglas, Perfect Strangers, Tommy Dreamer, Man in a Box, Raven, Come Out and Play. Even when they got later on, like Just Incredible with Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck. All of it. Sabu coming
Candido
out to Crazy.
And Sonny had, AC/DC?
Back in Black.
Back in Black, yeah.
You know, and that's the funny thing. You mentioned Candido. We actually had one of our topics on Facebook. And if you're not joining us on Facebook, you need to do that. We've been putting up topics every day that people get involved in. Some people got butthurt a little bit over the Chris Benoit one.
God,
but
Look,
we put it up there as a topic for discussion. We
right.
want to get people's opinions. We want thoughts. If somebody thinks about something a different way, we want to hear it. If you want to compare it to another situation, we're all ears.
Fair.
Just be respectful. We don't need to, people have talked about this before. No shit. It's professional wrestling. We talk about everything before. That's
true.
The fun of it. We like going back to it again.
Like, we're getting close to Royal Rumble time, and how many, over the next 2 weeks, how many times do you think we're going to talk about Royal Rumbles that we've probably talked about to death?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the first Rumble again with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Big John Studd winning the second Royal Rumble, the first one on pay-per-view.
Royal Rumbles are the matches I can go back and watch limitlessly. Like, I could literally watch
most of them. Some of them are... All right, wait. Let me finish my point on Candido, and then we'll get
ahead.
Back
I'm
to
sorry.
That question.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So we put the question out there, like, what was our favorite Candido time? And, fuck, now I forgot my point. Son of a...
No, you got it. You got it.
That's it. Were you there for the SSCW show when the ring broke?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You did the interviews in the back.
Yeah.
I'm such an asshole. I'm
and
sorry,
Candido
Kevin.
Cut the best promo ever. They had the entire promo on me, had the entire locker room cheering.
And on top of that, we sang him to the ring because the audio wasn't working.
I don't remember that.
We were up in the crow's nest, and they weren't playing his music, so we all started going, bam, bam, and out.
Oh, I do remember that.
And we start doing that, and he looks up at us, and he just shakes his head, and he started doing his dance with his hands.
I remember that day, like, literally like it was yesterday.
He was so into it, dude.
Because
it was great.
I didn't know anything. I was still in high school when this happened, by the way, when this show happened.
That's right. You guys were pretty young.
Eddie was my teacher. And
isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's very weird. And I was still in high school, and I wasn't sure what I needed to do at this point. It was towards the end of the show. There was going to be a big pull-apart brawl, and I've told the story on the show before, but for new listeners or newer listeners.
It's all for the newer listeners.
Yeah. Sonny was on the show as well. Tammy, our friend Tammy.
Yes.
And she comes in, and I'm changing from my suit, into like my street clothes, because I'm like, all right, the show's got a show's going. I'm still in high school at the
did
time.
Did she grab your dick?
No, she didn't.
Oh, come on.
No, she didn't grab my dick.
Fuck.
She was like, aren't you guys supposed to run out for this pull apart? I'm like, I don't know, Tam. I'm just an interview guy. I don't really know. So I was in like my Nike hoodie and my jeans, and I'm getting ready to run out to do something, and I probably should have. I should have done it.
Yeah,
but
it is what it is.
But Chris
had fun, dude. Candido cut a promo on your ass.
Oh, he cut one of the best promos ever after I was a little indie high school punk interviewer.
Okay, before we went to Candido, what did I interrupt you about?
Oh, dude, I have the memory of a goldfish.
Oh, we suck so hard.
The Benoit? The Benoit topic?
Yeah, we mentioned Benoit.
Royal Rumbles?
Royal Rumbles, yeah. Okay, that was it. Good call. Thank you. Yeah. Your memory's not shot. You're awesome. Have another beer.
Don't mind if I do.
Which Rumble do you think was the worst? My thought is...
It's so tough, because just like everything else...
Well, I think...
The evolution of the match changed.
The one that runs away for me is the Vince McMahon one.
99?
Because it had one story and one story only, and it took away from everything else that was going on. The second closest one was probably the one with Roman Reigns losing the title to Triple H, because that one was also very convoluted too. But I still think the 99 one runs away with it. Even the first one, where they were still kind of tweaking it, had its moments.
It was,
I feel like the Royal Rumble became more predictable in terms of they want, like, the Royal Rumble was supposed to be random. Anything could happen.
Yes.
But
until Yokozuna won the vacant title.
Right. And but
oh no, until Ric Flair won the vacant title. Then it
but
became
yeah, Yokozuna's Royal Rumble was the first one that guaranteed him a title shot
now,
at
wait,
Mania.
Flair won in 92. Okay, so Yokozuna won the next year.
Yes. And that was the first time the winner was guaranteed a main event at WrestleMania.
The title shot, yeah.
And but to me, like, the Royal Rumble over time got, like, more, and I guess that's what it is in wrestling. It became more of a show than, like, a contest.
Okay.
So, like, you knew, like, all right, 27, 28, there's going to be a big return. Like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker finished the Royal Rumble match, and then the next year they started it. It's, like, too much.
DiBiase did the same thing. DiBiase bought number 30, and then the next year he came out number one.
Right, it's not as bad. It got really bad. Like, all right, what was it, 98 or 2000, when John Cena made his return, you had Superfly Jimmy Snuka, the very next entrant, Roddy Piper. Like, it became too much of, like, all right, there's no way that they drew those numbers. Like, it became too much of a show as opposed to an actual contest where it was believable when someone drew this. Now it's not believable when, like...
Where do you rank the greatest Royal Rumble in terms of actual Royal Rumble matches? Does it even get consideration for you?
My favorite is 92.
But of course. I think it's a lot of people's favorites, if not most. I don't know if I would say most, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was most. But, I mean, the greatest Royal Rumble was actually a chance for somebody different.
You actually meant...
The one in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, like, Kevin, what's your greatest Royal Rumble? Okay. I meant it as that particular...
I
liked it too, and it gave somebody else a chance to win, which was nice.
Yeah.
I still don't know what they're doing with that Royal Rumble belt.
That awful, hideous belt.
You know what it looked like? It looked like a Pakistani, like knockoff belt.
It looked like the Nathan's hot dog belt, like the mustard belt.
That's a nice belt, though. That mustard belt that Joey Chestnut wins every
year.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's a wrestling belt.
He looks like a fucking champ. When he comes out and he's got all the belts with him and stuff, that's cool.
Guy's a main eventer.
He's unbelievable.
Anywhere he goes. Headlines any town.
Unbelievable.
Any town he wants.
The number one eater in IFOCE history. IFOCE.
Wow, you have a weird knowledge of stuff.
Well, it's Major League Eating now, but they absorbed the IFOCE, which was the International Federation of Competitive Eating.
You're not changing my opinion.
But yeah, it's all Major League Eating now.
All right.
There you go. I love that shit.
Do they have a show on BN Sports like MLW?
Maybe they do.
No, they don't.
They might. They might have shows like going around here and there and everywhere.
Do they run 3 hours? Tony, I'm totally fucking around.
Around with you trying to figure it out.
No, they don't.
Back
to the Royal Rumbles, because I could talk about Royal Rumbles all fucking day.
Well, we shouldn't talk about Royal Rumbles first. We should start setting the stage for what's going to be the 2019 men's and women's Royal Rumbles. Yes, they liked it so much last year, they're bringing it back. And I was happy with the women's Rumble last year.
I was too. The only thing that makes me nervous about the women's Royal Rumble is that I don't know if they'll have enough.
Oh, they will. They'll figure it out.
Figure it out. Of talent.
They'll bring in NXT girls. They'll bring in some legends.
But that's still a whole part of the process. NXT is going to have to filter some to make the Royal Rumble year after year different. So,
well, we saw Crazy Mary. She's officially there now, and she wrestled on Raw. Crazy Mary? Is that her name?
Is it Crazy Mary? Dobson?
No. Yeah. She wrestled on SmackDown, but she was on Raw on Monday.
Yeah, well, because now the call-ups are going to be, they're going to be on, oh, God, don't even get me started on that, too.
Well, this is what they said on Raw. They're going to appear
on
both brands.
This week.
So, and then I guess they're going to get drafted or tryouts?
Maybe, or choose which one they want to go to? I don't know.
Raw was really weird.
It was up and down. I liked a lot of it, but some of it, and more specifically, it was about the new talent. That was the only thing that I had a little bit of a problem with.
Well, okay, we might as well start off. So Braun Strowman comes out, and he's saying that he's, you know, Lesnar's going to get these hands at the Rumble and blah, blah, blah. And Corbin comes out and talks some shit. He chases Corbin down.
This part I didn't like.
He punches out the window of a limo with a tire iron because Elias sang him a four-verse song.
That was weird. It was that I could have done without this.
It
went over there or something
like that.
He's
in the car, he's in the limo, but it was like four stanzas before he got there. And Braun just stood there and waited for him.
Listen to you.
It was just a weird thing to do.
Did he throw
situation.
A dollar or a quarter in his guitar case?
He should have smashed his fucking guitar. He really should have. And Elias saw him running by. He didn't hit him with the guitar like he did before, weeks ago.
Elias is a good guy now.
Well, long story short, Braun Strowman destroys this limousine that Baron Corbin's hiding in, and it's Mr. McMahon's limo. And Mr. McMahon is so angry that he fines him $100,000, and Braun can't keep his big mouth shut. So Braun is no longer your challenger for Brock Lesnar's undisputed Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble.
Good.
Good? Here's something
the story is terribly awful.
The story is bad. So here's what I found from 401 Mania, and I think a lot of it comes from Dave Meltzer, so we'll give credit where it's due. Apparently, Vince has been planning this match, and he feels that Braun Strowman was cooling off after the Crown Jewel event where, Braun lost in 5 minutes thanks to Baron Corbin. Because, why continue the story? Apparently, they're still pushing for Lesnar versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But here's the thing. Strowman said he was ready. He lied. He wasn't ready. He's not cleared to go. And the other thing is, Vince has known about this for a long time, that Braun Strowman was not going to be in this main event, but continued to book it to sell tickets.
All right.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, a lot of this doesn't...
I mean, if he's
depending
hurt,
on where you read the information from, a lot of it doesn't jive.
I mean, well,
until you actually think about it,
but it's really strange though. But I mean, look what else you're up against. You're up against from what I understand, they did the same thing with Trish Stratus and at the Evolution, because she was supposed to wrestle Alexa Bliss 1-on-1, and they said that was never going to happen. That's why it eventually became a tag match,
right?
Because they were booking that as a championship match, because Alexa was champ at the time, maybe.
Don't remember.
I don't know. It's really convoluted. It's really messed up.
I do know that they did make it a tag match with Lita and...
Which was probably the smart thing to do, because, as botchy as some of the spots were, it came off as a good match.
Right.
So Braun Strowman was never, it was never supposed to be that this match was going forward to begin with. They just booked it and kept it. And you're also looking at the fact that Roman Reigns is not around anymore. So maybe they didn't want to have too many injury, quote-unquote injury angles where guys disappearing. I don't know. It's just really fucking weird now that we're going to have this placeholder to get to, whatchamacallit, to get to WrestleMania when it's supposedly, allegedly, still moving towards Seth Rollins in that spot.
You think it's going to be Rollins, Lesnar?
Well, if you want to jump ahead to the three-way for the Intercontinental belt.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Let's just go.
They took the Intercontinental belt out of the picture. Bobby Lashley's your new Intercontinental champion.
Which I loved.
I did. Now, I shit on Lashley completely last week, but in this situation, he looked like a star. He looked like he knew what he was doing. His spots were good. Everything he was involved with was fine. The one thing I didn't like, I liked Leo Rush getting involved. I thought it was perfect the way it was. He was like a little weasel running around. They couldn't catch him. The one thing I didn't like, Lashley fucking celebrating like he just fucking won the Olympics and got married and won the lottery all at the same time.
Well, let's be honest. Other than the ECW championship, what else has he really accomplished in WWE other than main eventing with Trump and Vince and Umaga?
Fair enough. But Bobby Lashley is supposed to be a badass. That's why he has a hype man. You would never see Taz throwing a fit like that he won the title. That's up to Fonzie to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Like, Lashley should have grabbed the belt, had his hand raised, and then Leo should have grabbed the belt and ran from buckle to buckle. Like, I told you. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they told him to just put over the belt and put over the emotion of the moment because the Universal Championship isn't on the show all that often.
I don't know, but Lashley should have come off as a badass. Unless they don't want it to be too Lesnar with badasses, but then it kind of refutes the whole thing.
Can I tell you how upset I was when I found out they were bringing Bobby Lashley back and they didn't even want to go near a Bobby Lashley-Brock Lesnar match?
Yeah, I know.
At the time, Bobby Lashley coming back, would Bobby Lashley as a babyface against Brock Lesnar would have been
but
awesome.
There's too much other stuff going on with Brock, you know? Like Brock is on a limited schedule. He's not wrestling all that much. You kind of have to save him for guys that are established. And let's be honest, until last night, Bobby Lashley hasn't really been established or doing much of anything.
But he could have been when they brought him back.
He could have been. They could have built him up. But at the same time, you had Roman Reigns. You had Seth Rollins. You had Finn Balor. Yeah. You had all these other guys that were not... And Braun Strowman. All these guys knocking on the door. And then they're going to try to squeeze Lashley in. I get it. I get your point. But I get why they didn't.
And then that's... And
Claymore, too. They're building up Claymore.
And to your point, that's... When maybe they didn't drop the ball with Lashley, but they're like you said, there just may not have been enough room.
But now he's got the Intercontinental belt. They took it away from Rollins, so he's not going to really be chasing after that anymore. You know what I'm saying? This opens up his path to the Universal Championship match, which is fine. It's what they used to do when guys were ready to go up to the next level all the time. Dean Ambrose was actually like, he didn't grate on me this week either. He was fine. His promo before the match was great. The fact that Rollins and Ambrose were working together really weirded me out too.
That yes,
you know,
like I get it. It's a triple threat match. Take out the what you perceive to be the biggest threat. But I'm like, guys, too soon.
Well, it also they're trying to play off the fact that the Rumble is every man for himself. So they're trying to say like, oh, if it's for the championship, you know, like you have to do what you have to do.
But and
my enemy of my enemy is my friend and all that horseshit nonsense.
It again, too soon.
Yeah. I mean, the Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat teamed up in Survivor Series after Macho Man went face. So, you know.
Well, you're going from Mania to you're going from March to November. We're going like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, why would you, like, I don't care. I get it, but I get it in theory. Let's put it that way. It just, like, you guys literally have the most intense feud on TV right now, other than maybe AJ and Daniel Bryan. And then you're going to work why wouldn't Dean, it would be better if Dean Ambrose and Bobby Lashley worked together against Seth.
Oh, the other word is that Lesnar was originally supposed to face Balor last year at the Royal Rumble. And that got pulled because McMahon didn't feel that that Balor was over enough. And Lesnar was pushing for that match because he wanted to work with him.
How long have I been saying that Balor coming out as the Demon, which he undoubtedly will do.
Yeah.
Against Brock is so fucking money.
Do you think they have the balls to pull the trigger on this and they go Rollins and Balor?
Oh, I hope so. I don't
think
so.
That'd be a killer match.
If they really wanted to, whatever, everyone can question all they want about this fresh start, which they're not committed to at all, by the way, but if they really wanted to, you pull the trigger and you have Finn beat Brock, then you have Finn Rollins at Mania in the rematch from when, I think it was when Balor won the Universal Championship and got hurt in that match.
It was the tournament final, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger win for Rollins is over Brock straight up.
That's fair.
That's the bigger win for him.
And Rollins
And maybe you get to SummerSlam where they have the collision course of the rematch.
If they keep Balor in that upper level, I have no problem with him not winning, and I don't expect him to win.
But that's a long stretch, too, because you also have Claymore knocking on everybody's door. You know? I'm not either, but he's at that cusp right
and
now.
And I hate that I'm not. Can I just stress that? Because I love Drew McIntyre.
And
I think he's awesome.
But he's coming across like that badass. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I'm here to destroy people.
That stupid robe that he wears. I don't know what it is. I hate that I don't see him as a world champion. I hate it.
Oh, you know what I hate? Ronda Rousey. How awful was this
tag
match?
Oh, that's who Matt hates more than Finn and Lashley.
How awful was this tag match with Rousey and Banks against the Beef Twins?
This was, I'm not going to lie to you, I watched Raw as soon as it went off the air on YouTube. So this was probably around the 3 o'clock in the morning hour.
Okay. Well, this was right after.
This was the main event, right?
No.
Oh, no. The Balor match was the main event.
Yeah. Well, one of the Balor matches. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sasha Banks is going to team up with Rousey, even though they're wrestling each other at the Royal Rumble. And Banks, to her credit, they're building her right. She tapped out Nia last week. She tapped out Tamina in the tag match. And then, of course, Ronda's all happy. And then she's like, oh, it's going to be so awesome to wrestle you, and it's going to be great to like to defeat you and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, no, you didn't. What did you say? You think you think you're the only one that could tap people out and shit? And then like,
oh, because she has the bank statement.
She's like, oh, but I didn't mean that. Oh, and I'm like, she looked good putting the bank statement on Tamina, by the way. She's got the moves. Yep. Sasha's good great. In the ring.
Her and Bayley will be the first tag team champions.
Well, all right, we're getting there.
Whatever.
So they're like, but instead of going into beast mode, Ronda's like, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. And then they're having these like arguments in the locker room, like, Sasha, you misinterpreted what I said. Instead of being like,
girl talk, bro.
Instead of being like, I'm trying to be nice, but if you think you're a bad bitch, you're going to find out what it's like to meet the baddest woman on the planet. Bam! And that's it. Now they hate each other. Nah. And what does this lead to? This leads to dog shit in the back. Now we get Bayley and Natalya against my favorite job squad, the Riot Squad.
Oh, I love the Riot Squad.
It was awful. And Crazy Mary joined them for the tag match.
Yes, I do remember this.
I tell you what, when she came to the ring, I'm like, great, another NXT project that's going nowhere. But as the match went on, she kind of got people behind her. So I think there might be something to her.
She should go. This is so weird. We just mentioned how about Bobby Lashley, about there not being room for him. I get that they want to call people up, but there's really no room unless you really want to have like six or seven different programs for the women on Raw. There's no, like, where's like, and people are going to be upset if she's not automatically inserted into the title picture. When someone comes in, they immediately want them to be.
And they shouldn't. And they shouldn't.
And like, that's what I'm thinking for. Like, I thought EC3 should have been called up.
It is Crazy Mary, isn't it?
I don't know. Didn't we have this conversation where we were confusing Nikki and somebody?
Nikki Cross. It's not Crazy Mary. It's Nikki Cross, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, Nikki Cross is her WWE name, but who was she?
She was Crazy Mary?
Crazy Mary Dobson? There were two different workers. One was Crazy Mary and one was...
Fucking, we've been calling her Crazy Mary this whole time.
Yeah, but I thought we knew that we weren't sure.
Nikki Cross. Let me see.
I think she was, I think.
Oh, my God. If it's not Crazy. Because
then someone also got released, though, too, who I thought may have been Crazy Mary.
Oh, my God. Cross under the name Nikki Storm. Nope.
Yeah, Nikki. Yeah. It's Cross is Nikki Storm.
It's not Crazy.
Crazy Mary was the one that got released.
You suck.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, we never said that we were
Crazy
positive.
Crazy Mary.
But I think we had this conversation like a month ago.
Oh, fuck.
Boo!
Oh my God, we suck. I'm surprised Matt's not texting us to correct us.
Might actually be busy at work now.
He might have been frozen to death.
Because I remember talking about this and we were confusing.
Well, we did it again, folks.
Yeah.
Oops. We peaked in episode 406.
No, we're fine.
Good Listen, night, everyone.
We're not fucking CNN.
All right.
We're the Shining Wizards.
So what else happened on Raw? I feel like we're going through it too in depth, but that women's shit really pissed me off. That was fucking awful. Oh, so Vince McMahon finally...
Well, let me stop you.
Go ahead.
Royal Rumble is considered one of like the best. It's usually goes WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble as a close third.
You'd put SummerSlam above Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah. Lately, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, actually, for all of time, basically. All
right, go
SummerSlam
ahead.
SummerSlam was like the WrestleMania. But now look at the two main events in terms of the women's matches other than the SmackDown side. You have Finn Balor versus Brock and Sasha versus Ronda.
Uh-huh.
To me, those are like identical matches. You know that the two aren't going to win, yet they're throwing them a bone and putting them in the main event anyway.
Yeah, I get you.
Like you know the money's in Becky and Ronda, and you know the money's in Brock and, let's say, Seth.
Yeah.
So I don't blame them for doing this. But it's just like the Royal Rumble should not feel like a placeholder pay-per-view.
I just had a thought. Somebody mentioned on the Facebook page when we talked about the NXT, the WWE Women's Tag Belts, which we might as well just say it. Alexa Bliss did her moment of bliss with Paul Heyman. She talked about how Vince introduced the tag belts, and she actually displayed the tag belts for the first time in public. I like them. I think the design's cool. I know you're a fan, but you thought the NXT men's belts was a better
design. I love
design.
The NXT tag
okay,
belts.
Fair enough.
UK.
Fair enough. Them. And there's going to be a tournament for these things? I think six teams or, well, how did they set it up? Three teams from Raw.
All I heard was Elimination Chamber.
Oh, no, that was it. Three teams. There's six teams in the Elimination Chamber.
So it's a tag team Elimination Chamber match for the belts.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be three from Raw, three from SmackDown. So that pretty much guarantees Sasha's not winning the belt on Royal Rumble. Because it's going to be Sasha and Bayley, and either that or Tamina and...
Or maybe like...
The Iconics? Please. My favorite tag team of all time.
I forgot about the Iconics.
What the fuck? They're so stupid.
But I love the team of Tamina and Nia Jax. Love the team of Bayley and Sasha. Except
Bayley and Sasha have to win that
except
shit.
The stupid name. The boss and hug... Call them the boss buddies. How fucking hard is that? Alliteration, you fucks.
The boss huggers?
They're called the boss and hug connection.
That is so
bad. It's so bad. When they started putting team in front of everyone's name.
Why can't they just be best friends? Why can't they just
That's Chucky T and Trent Beretta.
Who?
Chucky T and Trent Beretta.
You don't get it? Who's Trent?
Right. Gag? You got me.
I tried.
You got me.
I succeeded.
Boss buddies, the shirt, alliteration. It's perfect. It's what you do.
Sure.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm thinking
they could
too
just
much.
Call them Sasha Banks and Bayley.
The Banks and Bayley connection.
Bayley Banks. Banks.
I hate that they have to put they have to reinforce that they're a team Daniel Bryan and Kane, Team Hell No.
Yeah.
Like Team.
Team Boom.
Yeah, or Air Boom. That was the worst name ever. Air Boom was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know what? Now I'm in the mood to hear this.
This
could be one of my sleeper favorite theme songs ever.
It's a great song.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I'm not from Jamaica. I'm from
hear
Ghana.
Hear me shouting. I'm from West Africa, not Jamaica.
And yet he's still Kofi Kingston.
I went to Boston College. I was.
I know Jay Silva.
I told the story too. My cousin was his roommate in college.
Jay Silva's?
No, Kofi Kingston's.
Oh, brother. What else happened on Raw? Oh, so Vince McMahon announces that every one of these four idiots came to the ring in schmoz. So they're going to have a fatal four-way.
A fatal four-way.
So it's Finn, the prodigal son John Cena, the Claymore kicker, and Baron, the bullshit artist Corbin. And after this... what's his name? Shaka Zulu.
Shaka on Saturday night?
No, what the hell's his name? He always does Chakra. Like Jinder Mahal. Jinder my balls.
Jinder?
In my groin region was there, and he begged to get in that match.
Ah, yes.
And so Finn Balor had to wrestle him because he chose to wrestle Finn Balor for his spot.
I like it.
Look, I like Jinder Mahal. I like the fact that he was WWE champion.
God, when you're
working,
so bad.
Listen, if you're working a headlock, you got to do more than just hold the headlock. You know what I'm saying? You should be weaseling to the ropes. You should be pulling hair. You should be giving him noogies. You should do anything.
Wait, when he had the headlock on
when
Balor?
When he works the headlock.
Or when you say works the headlock, when he's Jinder applying takes, the headlock or he's in the headlock?
No, when he's got him down in a headlock and he's holding him on the canvas.
Remember, my favorite.
This you got to be doing something.
This may have been a chin lock, but remember when you got him in a chin lock and the guys would raise their legs and slam him down to apply leverage to
exactly.
it?
Exactly. DiBiase was a master at that.
Yes, DiBiase was great with that.
But you have to be working it. You have to do something. Otherwise, you're just laying there.
Yeah. Even if you just, we're an audio platform, but
feet on the ropes.
Just wrench it in and even get your hand around your wrist and just
even slip it under the chin and tell the ref I'm choking him and then let the ref give you a count and slip it down.
God.
Anything. Work it.
I forgot.
You got the Singh brothers outside. Stick your feet out under the ropes and let them pull on your ankles.
My favorite spots, one of my favorite things of all time, which is so not done anymore, at least I don't think, is just the abdominal stretch. With the hand on the ropes.
Grabbing the ropes. Grabbing the manager's hand.
And then the referee kick spot. If he has the manager's hand, the manager falls off the apron.
Or you let go of the ropes and the ref's like, why are the ropes shaking? Yeah. I don't know.
And then he shakes it himself to make it look like they're yeah. They're, it was like, what is that? You just did that.
Yeah.
God, I love wrestling.
I miss that old stuff, man. Work it. Work the crowd. Let them know what an asshole you are. Cheat.
You're so
Nobody cheats. You know who cheated? I watched the Dash and Dawson, the revival, when they wrestled the Lucha House Party. What's his name? One of the Lucha guy put his foot on the rope, and the Dawson guy pushed his foot off. Fuck you. And the ref counted the pin. That's awesome. That's old school cheating right there.
I miss that chin lock. Flip your legs up and slam him on the mat spot.
You
were so right. DiBiase crushed that all the time.
Or even up to Finn. Go for a cradle. You know? Try to roll him over. Get a two count. Roll it back. Try to come out of it. Let him roll. Actually, rolling through is more of a babyface thing. Like a Tito Santana or a Ricky Steamboat. They would do an extended face spot at the beginning of a match. You know, like the guy would shoot him off and he would take a tackle. And then when he would try to come off, he'd go for the hip toss and the face would reverse it. And then a couple arm drags and then back to the arm or back to the headlock.
Dude, that.
Give it an extended face spot. You know, let the face get some shine at the beginning
I love the headlock. Again, the headlock. Into the backing up and sending him off the ropes, duck down, leapfrog over, leapfrog. Oh.
Block the hip toss him yourself, come off an arm drag, take the headlock, take him back over.
A beautiful, nice little drop
kick in there.
Give the
crowd a chance to cheer for you, give him a second to catch his breath, and then you roll him back for a two count.
Yep.
Oh. Fuck, man. Why aren't we booking wrestling, Kevin?
Because we're not that good at it.
Oh, yes, we are.
But that was...
I was.
Because I, like, what you just said right there... I miss it.
We gotta have headlocks
and takeovers. God damn it!
Irish whips.
Alexa Bliss before she came out for thing.
That was the weirdest thing ever.
Apparently, they did that because they're trying to get a little titillation back in the show. They're trying to squeeze in. This is why we were talking about earlier with the Uso and Naomi.
Uso
and all
crazy.
That. Yes.
Uso naked.
Uso sexy.
Uso. What up, Oos? Oh, Mandy Rose is sexy.
So they're trying to squeeze in a few adult things here and there, and apparently it worked because the YouTube clip of Alexa turning around was like the highest watched thing on WWE's YouTube page. Hey, man, sex sells. What are you going to do?
I get it.
But
doesn't that defeat the purpose of what they're trying to do?
Yes, it does. But in fairness, the men wrestle topless all the time.
But it's different.
Finn Balor comes out with his little trunks on. There's not much to the imagination, Kev. There's really not.
No, you're right. Especially when they do that close up when he's on the ropes when he comes out.
And he does it. Women are. They don't know how lucky they've had it. They've had a sausage party on their television on Monday nights for the past 26 years.
Yeah, but I don't think women are wired like us.
Well, yeah, there's some of them are. You know, you mean to tell me there's not women out there going, "Oh, Finn is so ballerific."
Yeah, but do you think they're?
I want his kebab. Whatever they call him, banger. I want his banger.
Banger and mash.
I want his banger in my. I want him to mash me with his banger.
I want his banger in my inner groin.
Right. Cheerio.
But like, let's call a spade a spade.
Oh, easy.
We had Sunny on the show. I blatantly told her. I'm like, Tammy, you were the first woman I ever whatever to.
The first woman that turned me Japanese.
So exactly. I am.
Oh, fuck. Too bad Matt's not here. I don't have turned me Japanese.
Do you think, like, girls do that?
Yes. Some of them do.
Like, do you think, like, they see Finn and they...
You know why?
They pause it and then they go...
You know why? Because of the feminist movement. Because women don't want to be better than men. Women just want to be just
like
men.
Do we have any female listeners?
Yeah, I'm sure we do. One or two.
If you're a female listener and you're listening to this right now...
Oh, God. Kathy, please tell us.
Oh, no. All right.
Kathy will be joining us in 2 weeks. And by the way...
Is that confirmed?
Yes. Spoiler alert. Next week, we are being joined on the hotline by B-Plus Player Radio's...
Oh, all right.
And ring announcer extraordinaire, Mark Adam Haggerty. I think he also does commentary, doesn't he?
He's
done a lot.
He does a lot. The guy works hard.
Yes,
and he's doing a great job making a name for himself. He puts in the miles. He puts in the work, and it'll be cool to actually talk to him. Sean Mooney just sent me a message on Instagram.
Who?
Sean Mooney.
Who? You fell for it again.
Ah, man. Sean Mooney. See, you can't use the same joke twice. If I didn't get it the first time, I'm not going to get it the second time.
Oh, I went into my Kofi mode. Who?
What the hell are we talking about? Yeah. Ooh. So do you think like girls?
Some of them do. Trust me. There's a bigger percentage of men that do that.
Yeah.
Because you're right.
Are you telling me like a female like sees like whatever so and so on TV and then goes pauses it and goes into the other room.
No,
and
in the other room, she takes her pants down like Priscilla Kelly and goes.
All right, okay. I don't see that. Whereas guys, we're disgusting.
She rubs a spit shine on that bad boy. looks like a brand new number 2 pencil right out the package.
Ladies, let me know. Let me know if you do that.
I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no.
It's a sociological experiment.
No, what?
What did Sean Mooney send me?
Who?
He's asked. Oh, Sean. This can't be Sean Mooney.
Wait, did it
no,
come
it
from,
is, but it's got to be someone
it
running
came from
his.
At Sean Mooney what?
No, it's his account. It's just somebody's got to be running it
it's
for
like
him.
It's like Sean Booney.
He's chilling his Patreon to me.
Is there any more Raw? Oh, yeah. So Finn Balor wins with the coup de grace on John Cena, mind you.
Loved it.
That's great. And Cena even gave him the handshake, told him, these people believe in you. Vince may not have. And now one more person believes because I believe in you. That's gold. That's what Cena's meant for at this part in his career.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Listen, it was completely awesome.
I love John Cena. Maybe not so much as like a fan, but as a guy that respects what he's done.
And his bumps were pretty bad, though.
His bumps
were pretty bad. When you're taking a power bomb, dude, land on your back. Don't put your elbows down. That's how you tear up your elbows.
He's always done that.
I know. It's so. I cringed every bump he was taking, dude.
But
it was cool that he was selling, though. Like, he went for the AA on Corbin, and he couldn't get him up because he was working his back.
I love that he got pinned clean.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
By Finn and putting him over.
Well, he had taken the Claymore just before that, or no? He took something just
before. It was clean enough.
No. Fair enough. It was clean. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from him. Yeah. But it wasn't like 5 moves, and he kicked out. He got pinned.
Yeah.
And it was nice. And I still don't know how people take the coup de grace. I really don't.
I don't know how he does the coup de grace.
He just stomps.
But, like, he's got to pull. Like, I don't know how you pull when you're...
Bended knees? I don't know.
That's got to be it.
Speaking of bended knees, it was like an anniversary from Sid breaking his leg recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Sin pay-per-view.
That was going around.
I put that on our Instagram, Wizards Podcast on Instagram.
You put your left foot in and you...
But what's forgotten from that is that Road Warrior Animal returned to WCW in 2001.
And nobody gave a fuck because Sid was crying. End the fucking match. I'm dying.
I loved it. Like, was there ever a return? And WCW did this a lot in the later years. Was there ever a return or someone debut? Or even if it's like, even if you want to go to TNA, was there ever someone showing up where you're like, uh-oh, this is a game changer? I remember thinking back in like 2000, 2001, that was everybody. Like, everyone that showed up, I'm like, oh, well, the ratings now, WCW could get the ratings back.
X-Pac was a big one. X-Pac showing up on Raw was a big one. He may not have been a big player, but that was a big get.
I'm thinking, like, I'm even going to, like, the shitty, shitty times where, like, X-Pac was still...
Oh, like when Luger showed up as Narcissus?
No, I'm thinking, like, when a 43-year-old Sid Vicious showed up at the Great American Bash in WCW helping the Macho Man win the world title. Like, or when Bam Bam Bigelow showed up to confront Goldberg, or when, like we just said, I'm like, whoa, Road Warrior Animal's back? That's huge. And again, as a kid, I'm thinking this. Now I'm like, oh, that's silly.
No, I was like, why are they bringing him back? And then, like, yeah.
But I just really... Because I remember watching Sin. I remember everything. I remember watching it when it happened. And I remember they came out with this Road Warrior Animal, came out with the straight jacket and the mask, and then finally takes it off, and it's Road Warrior Animal. I'm like, uh-oh, WWE better be worried.
Yes, from Road Warrior Animal.
I thought that's what I remember thinking then as, like, a high schooler. And, like I said, when Sid came back, I'm like, that's big. Sid came back in, I think, 99. And help Macho Man when Macho Man was doing the whole Gorgeous George Medusa.
I got half the mind that you do.
God, you guys got to go back and watch the late WCW stuff.
Just watch old stuff, man. Get your wrestling education on. Seriously.
Dude, they do a trivia contest in Staten Island. They were giving away Monday night, which was last night, floor seats to WrestleMania.
Floor seats.
I was burping and yawning at the same time while talking.
Little Kev was hitting puberty over there.
That's right.
Hey, floor seats.
Listen, I was due. Everyone's doing the puberty challenge on Facebook.
Your groin region was finally hitting puberty.
My inner groin.
Your inner groin. Like the Bruno Sammartino figure that Louie got me a few weeks ago.
His inner groin is definitely
growing. Inner groin has definitely got a, he's got a few thatches growing. Good God.
Timothy
Holy
Thatches?
Shit. We had Colt Cabana on the show. That's amazing.
We did.
We had a great ending to 2018.
Sean Mooney is going to be Sean better. Mooney is desperately trying to show me his Patreon.
Jesus Christ. Is he going to buy you dinner first?
No, he said he'll plug the podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so Raw. That was Raw. Oh, the...
I love Sean Mooney, by the way.
The tag belts. Do we want to give a quick history on the WWF tag belts?
The Women's Tag Team Championship.
The Women's Tag Team Championship.
That is all you, my man.
Well, apparently...
And I'll come along for the ride, for sure.
Apparently... these were the tag belts that were under Moolah's control. They were technically, I guess, the women's tag belts, or at some points the NWA women's tag belts.
This design?
No. The original tag belts.
Okay.
I'm giving a little history.
Gotcha.
Not just design. Because if you take a look now, the history of it, let me just type in Glamour Girls so I can give you folks an accurate history. Because during our time, and it's funny that we're mentioning it, because the first time that we had any recollection as fans growing up, was the Glamour Girls and the Jumping Bomb Angels at the first Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That was a 2 out of 3 falls match, wasn't it?
Yes.
And that was when the Jumping Bombs won the titles from the Glamour Girls, correct?
Yes.
They won it in the third fall.
They won the match, whether or not they were the champs going in or not.
No, they weren't. They won the titles. And the cool thing was, Jimmy Hart was managing them, the Glamour Girls.
The Glamour Girls.
How crazy was that? What an amazing time in wrestling, right?
God.
You know what? I could look for the professional tag team, because I'm starting to get Glamour Girls. Was that a TV show at some point?
The Golden Girls was a TV show.
Oh, I know. That's one of the greatest of all time. Okay. So apparently, in August of 1985, there was a tournament match in Egypt where the Glamour Girls won the WWF women's tag belts. But if you look at the original belts that they had, they actually said NWA on them. So they never really got close enough to them on TV, but if you look at the old belts, they're marked NWA, probably because of the association with Moolah, because she got a hold of them. Because back in the day,
red strap belts?
They should be. They kind of look like a bunch of like circles all glued together. They're like really gold, like brass looking. You'll find them if you look them up.
Yeah, I have it up now.
So anyway, apparently at the time, Velvet McIntyre and Desiree Peterson, how about those names, blast from the past? They were the women's tag champs, but by hook or by crook, Leilani Kai and Judy Martin wind up with the tag belts. You'll know Leilani Kai from her title defense at WrestleMania, where she unsuccessfully defended the title against Wendi Richter during the whole Rock and Wrestling era.
You also remember her from WrestleMania 10 against Alundra Blaze, losing the match.
That's right. Leilani Kai came back from that.
I think it was WrestleMania 10. 10 or 11.
No, it was 10. And at some point before that, Heidi Lee Morgan came into WWF.
Love Heidi Lee
Morgan. For the tournament final, where she lost to Alundra Blaze. Blaze. Jesus, I'm not cooking steaks over here. So apparently Vince was high on bringing back the women's division back in the late 80s. He already had Sherry Martel there. Rockin' Robin was involved. So he was building things up. And he brings in this team from Japan, the Jumping Bomb Angels. Now, I want to do them justice because Vince and nobody from commentary knew what their names were.
I have no idea what their names are.
But it was Norio Tateno and Itsuki Yamazaki. That was the Jumping Bomb Angels. And they were some tough women, man. They were crazy tough women. Matter of fact, I think they had quite a few feuds with the Crush Girls. Or if you really want to get into some old women's Japanese wrestling, the Crush Girls set the gold standard at that point in time. But Jumping Bomb Angels, no slackers. So they had matches back and forth for the women's tag belts. Now, this is where everything goes south, and this is why Moolah is generally regarded these days overall as a big piece of shit. I know, dude. I'm fucking all gassed up.
Well, I can't get mad at you, 'cause I'm about to blow up your bathroom in a little bit.
I'm ripping up and ready to go. So apparently, after the Jumping Bomb Angels won the titles, the two teams went off for a tour in Japan. And at some point, Moolah was pissed off because she got wind at WrestleMania that year.
Of your butt?
Yes. They were going to feature the teams in a tag title match at WrestleMania. How cool would that have been?
Which WrestleMania?
What WrestleMania was after that first Rumble? Was it WrestleMania 3?
No. 88? Yeah!
87. Wasn't the first Rumble 87?
The first Rumble was 88.
It was 88.
Yeah, so that would have been WrestleMania 4?
Was it going to be a WrestleMania? Because that WrestleMania was pretty stacked.
Because 90 was WrestleMania 6, so 89 would have been WrestleMania 5.
Apparently, it was going to be WrestleMania 5. That's what Pat Patterson was mentioning, according to what I'm reading here. So here's the thing.
Right? 90 was WrestleMania 6.
Yes. So they go to Japan and they had this match, and apparently Moolah was there with them, and they were pissed off because Leilani Kai, Judy Martin had a falling out with Moolah, and they were going to go off on their own, which was the problem that Wendy Richter had, which is why they pulled the whole screw job with Wendy Richter with the title.
Ah, sons of bitches.
Because Wendy wanted to go on her own. But this was more like, we don't want to be with Moolah. So Moolah told them, hey, I got word from the States. On the last night of the tour, you guys have to win the titles back. Leilani Kai was like, that doesn't sound right. They're trying to call Pat Patterson. 1989... There's no texting.
Yeah.
There's no Facebook. There's no emails. It was 88, actually.
It's all landlines, baby.
Couldn't get in touch with Pat Patterson, so they said, what do we do? Well, Moolah's in charge. We got to listen to Moolah. They weren't supposed to win the titles back. The Jumping Bomb Angels were supposed to come back with the championships. Apparently, Vince and Pat Patterson got pissed off and said, what the fuck is going on? Didn't want to listen to Pat Patterson, and they pretty much abandoned the entire tag division a couple of months later.
Do you think this falls into the category of everyone kind of shitting on Moolah?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think so, and I think it's justified because, look, listening to this story, it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe Moolah's and Patsy are going, how could they do this?
And who? I'm sorry.
Pat Patterson.
What'd you call him?
Patsy. Or what did I say?
I thought you called him Patsy, like he was like your buddy. Like,
I thought you thought I said Pat's rear.
No, I thought you said like Patsy.
No.
Like that's like you guys have like barbecue together.
Fuck. Well, I got to listen back to that.
You definitely said Patsy.
I must have sounded like a dick. So bottom line
is... He would like that, by the way.
The title's what? Did I sound like a dick? I look like a dick, too.
He would like that even more.
Fucking Crazy Mary. What the fuck is wrong with us?
It's not...
We'd never go back and change the whole episode.
Well, no, we never confirmed it. We questioned it every single time we talked. So I don't think it's egregious.
That's fine. Egregious. Wasn't he the host of a show with Kathy Lee?
Egregious and Kathy Lee.
Gelman! It's terrible.
Egregious and Kathy Lee.
I popped Kevin. That's it. Show's over. Oh, brother. So now after all this time, I think the last time the belts were in existence was 1988 or some nonsense. So now after what? 30 years. It's actually been 30 years.
Let me ask you this, though, Tony.
What's up?
Being the historian and that you are.
I try to be, but anyway.
If so-and-so, if Moolah, though, screwed him, whatever, the Moolah screw job, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1988.
Yeah.
Couldn't they find a way to just make pretend it never happened?
Well, yeah, of course.
Why didn't they?
Because Moolah probably got in somebody's ear and said that's fucked up what they did. You know what I'm saying?
So she put the kibosh
on. Moolah put the screws to them, and then Moolah probably got in Pat's ear. Not Patsy's. Whatever.
Patsy! Patsy's inner groin.
So I can honestly see that happening. I can honestly see that happening. Because Patterson told them they totally screwed up plans and that nobody made that decision for a title change. That's fucked. And Leilani Kai and Judy Martin both tell the same story. Yeah, mentioned plans for a tag championship match at WrestleMania 5. But I don't know if that timeline doesn't make sense because it would have to have been later in the year that this happened with the tag title switch, no?
I don't know, man.
I mean, it's pretty wild.
It's just confusing to me because they've done title changes before and then
the house show. The house show was June 8th, 1988 in Japan. And the titles were effectually deactivated in February of 89. So they probably decided by that point, screw it. Which is a really big stretch, but...
But, I mean, let's be honest. How deep was the division anyway? Because the only... Burpee.
Well, ultimately, this is what I'm concerned about. There's a lot of titles now in WWE. Shit fucking metric ton of titles.
Right.
Are they going to have this women's title bounce back and forth? Are they eventually
from both shows,
gonna do,
yeah.
Are they eventually going to do another set of women's tag belts?
No, I don't think so.
But when does it end? How many championships have we introduced in the past year alone?
All right, let me paint a picture for you.
Jesus,
would rather have every match on a show be for a belt,
like New Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Where every title changes.
That's where I was going with this.
No opportunities for anybody else then.
The more titles you make, the more opportunities there are.
Yeah, but then I don't get to see, you know, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the 100th time.
Well, there you go. I would rather have every match
on the show be for a title than have like 6 out of 8 be for a title. If you're going to do it, just fucking do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It's really weird, especially now because there's so many brand differences. You're going to have a title that flip-flops between brands. It's just I wait and see. We always say that on The Shining Wizards, but I kind of I'm curious.
I would rather them have more titles than like remember when they unified the Intercontinental and European and then the Intercontinental and, then the, and the World and the Hard
yeah and all that.
And they took away the titles and then they
brought it back because they realized what a big mistake it was, the Intercontinental belt.
So I would rather them have more belts than less belts. And I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me on that. But it's an instant storyline. If everyone's fighting for something, at least it's a failsafe if your story isn't there. At least you're fighting for the championships.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, again, that's just my opinion, and it could get old real quick. And listen, some of these shows are now 4 hours long, so you have a kickoff, and you have, you know, WrestleMania is going to be like 9 hours.
Of course it is. So, not to mention all the access stuff, the Hall of Fame, NXT.
So there's no rule, there's no law that says that every title has to be defended all the time on every pay-per-view. It doesn't happen.
There's just a lot of champions around the world now. It's really weird.
So let's run them down. You got the Universal, the WWE, Intercontinental, US, Cruiserweight, Tag, Women's.
Women's Tag soon.
Women's Tag.
Then you've got NXT. You've got the World.
Yeah, Women's. But they're not always on the same show.
Okay, but now you have the NXT UK belts as well.
Again, not on the same show.
Okay, but still, there's a lot of championships in the WWE wheelhouse.
But if it's all different programming, like if I watch like a sitcom, like if I watch Family Matters, wow, there's a lot of people in that family. I watch Full House, there's a lot of people in that family. They're not the same family.
Yeah, but how many times are the Tanners going over to the other show you mentioned, Family Matters?
Actually, I think they did that once. I think they did a crossover where like Stephanie ran away and Urkel
raped her.
No, Urkel did not rape Stephanie Tanner, but I'm pretty sure.
Did I do that?
And then they did a crossover with Step by Step too.
How
I think.
Rude!
Yeah, that was actually really good. I'm sorry I stepped over that.
It's all right.
Did I do that? How rude! That's actually really good. little dark, a little creepy.
That's all right.
But
what we're talking about, Urkel? It wasn't that dark.
God.
There's your racism for the night, folks.
Oh, you're so bad.
Coming in late. Oh, Jesus. I think
Family Matters did a crossover with
probably My Two Dads.
No, definitely not My Two Dads. It was definitely Full House, and it was definitely Step by Step.
Oh, maybe it was Step by Step.
No, they did. I think they did both. I'm 99.9% sure that there was a crossover.
We're going to have to figure that one out.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Do we have anything else we need to cover before we pull the train into the station?
Oh, my God. It's 8:52 already?
Yes.
Nigel McGuinness.
Yes,
special.
The documentary. How was it?
Awesome.
See, I should have checked that out. I watched the Mean Gene, Let Me Tell You Something.
Which was also good.
It was
I cried
because
it's Mean Gene, man.
No, but it was, I mean, a half an hour doesn't do Mean Gene justice. It really doesn't.
I'll say that I thought that if it went longer, it would have saturated it.
Yeah.
They got all the good moments. They got the gooker. They got the cream to the top. They got the fuck it. They got the...
Like one of my favorites is the Macho Man. The Macho Man got like 6 promos with him. You know what I'm saying? It's like
I mean, it's very weird though because Bruce Pritchard said that Gene didn't like working with Savage on his on the Mean Gene podcast. They did,
yeah.
But then on this, it made it look like he was one of his favorite guys to work with. So
the one thing I did find funny was Mean Gene and Elizabeth making small talk, and Savage is like, "What's going on? I'm the Intercontinental Champion, standing right here with the belt."
Yeah, it's like the most important guy is not standing right in front of you, and you guys are having a conversation. Huh?
But it's cool because Randy was very possessive. It's cool that he actually showed that he could have fun working with Mean Gene.
And it's so fun, like you go like real life scenarios. Like, would Mean Gene ever have a shot with Elizabeth?
No, but they talked
so
about...
So it's so funny where Macho Man gets jealous over Mean Gene Okerlund.
But they talked about Mean Gene and how he was a ladies' man. And, like, Like he was
actually
never,
confidence is everything. Actually.
He wasn't trying to put up numbers, but he would always talk to ladies. He said to keep his game sharp. He's
good
like,
for
he
him.
Always got to be working.
Got to watch some more Mean Gene.
He's awesome, dude. Watch Legends House. He is a gem on that show. If you've never seen it, you got to watch.
I've watched Legends House.
Watch
when
it
was
again.
On. Actual...
I'm going to watch it again at some point this week.
It was actually on regular TV. It was on VH1, I think.
It's so great. It's so great.
So Nigel,
I got to check it out.
Friend of the show. My Unconventional Life on the Shining Wizards Network.
Absolutely.
Latest episode was dropped on January 9th, I believe.
Oh, he'll have a new one tomorrow.
He'll have a new one tomorrow.
And they're quick. They're like the Bumper Podcast. They come in small doses, but they're power-packed.
Truly inspiring, and it's kind of a weird... It's like a sad but happy story at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted his entire life to wrestle for WWE. He's there... But he's not doing what he dreamed of doing.
But it's funny how it works out that way.
Yeah. And
look at Drake Younger. Drake Younger's not wrestling, but he's a referee and he's successful as shit.
Yeah,
know?
But Nigel's story, like Nigel was arguably the best in the world.
Maybe he gets a match someday.
I think he might.
He might. Somebody was teasing it on Twitter. I think Seth Rollins was tweezing it.
If they do it at NXT UK.
Is that a Twitter tease, a tweeze?
That's it.
Fucking A. Coin and language here on the Shining
there
Wizards.
It is.
Kevin, I don't think you have a going home, do you? I have a really strange going home.
I'll find one.
Something I didn't know about. I see a headline today that says Lars Sullivan reportedly still under contract with WWE.
Right,
We've been seeing vignettes with him lately that he was supposed to be making his debut. I don't know if the rumors are true. He apparently had an anxiety attack and they sent him home. That's what the Wrestling Observer was reporting. So he was supposed to wrestle on some Raw and SmackDown dark matches. It says he never showed up for either one. He's still under contract. He was set to appear at the TV events in Florida, but didn't work them. And he was also not scheduled to be at TV this week. So I don't know if he had if he's got some sort of nervous condition or if he's, you know, like if he just had a mental breakdown or I don't know, man, dealing with that shit. I know people that deal with anxiety. That's pretty rough. So I'm hoping he figures it out and, you know, he works it out and he gets in because he's a talent. I mean, I don't follow NXT, but the press around him has been amazing.
A Lars Sullivan Braun Strowman showdown would be epic, and if it happens at the Rumble, which I think it will, if Braun gets in it, then it could be epic.
I mean, periodically, sometimes it just happens to guys where just like I'm not cut out for this, I don't want to do this anymore. But this sounds like something completely different. I just hope he gets his shit squared away, gets his mind together, and you know he's able to come back and ply his trade because he deserves the spot. They put the machine behind him. He obviously deserves to be there. Somebody sees something in him, so.
All right.
Get well, Lars. Hopefully we'll see you soon, brother.
I have a going home.
All right, going home,
Speaking
Kevin.
Of get well soon, I think it's time that we see the return. He's healing himself up. I think the world is ready to be reintroduced to Fandango.
Oh, shit. Wait, they haven't been around?
Tyler Breeze has been wrestling singles matches as one half of the Fashion Police. But I think it's time that Fandango comes back and we all go Fandangoing. Again, it's that time of year.
Yes, it is.
It's that time of year where people will go nuts for it. And he's been in the company, developmental, since 2006.
He's been around a long time.
I'm hoping that 2019 is the year of Fandango.
I wish I had his theme song here. I really do.
I just came up with this, so there's no way that you could have
That's okay, because you know why? You know what somebody posted earlier this week, and I found myself listening to it, singing along with everybody? This timeless classic from the original wrestling album.
This is the Land of a Thousand Dances?
Land of a Thousand Dances. It's amazing. Go find the video. Watch it. Watch all the stars of the World Wrestling Federation at that point in time get together.
Can I tell you the first time I saw this?
Go ahead.
There was a monk, the band The Monkees, a marathon on MTV, and this was the commercial in it of them doing this.
Awesome.
And I would rewind on my little remote that had a wire attached to the VCR and would rewind just to watch this commercial over and over again. Bobby Heenan or Mr. Fuji getting the drums slammed over his head. Oh, great, great stuff.
And there's a few cameos in there. Guys.
Meatloaf.
All right. It was Meatloaf. Of course, Rick Derringer's there.
I don't recognize anybody else but Meatloaf.
It's amazing. You really
find I'm going to watch it again.
Land of a Thousand Dancers. It's from the wrestling album, the original. It's amazing
you,
stuff.
Like, you gotta look all the way to the back to see people that you aren't. Like, Terry Funk's in this.
Yes.
Like,
S.D. Jones is singing in it.
I think Barry O is in this.
Barry O is in the video.
With
the
red, like, vest.
And Mr. Wonderful's in the background.
Always kissing his.
Kissing his biceps to the rhythm.
And Nikolai Volkoff
Oliver
dances
Humperdinck's
like a.
Humperdinck's in there. A lot.
Johnny Valiant's there.
Dude, it's crazy.
The Killer Bees are in the back. The Heart Foundation are all the way up on the top.
Yeah. It's so great. It's amazing. And I guess we'll leave you with that.
That's it.
Next week, Mark Adam Haggerty. 2 weeks, we welcome back Kathy Hummer.
All right.
And that's it. Kevin, any plugs before we get out of here?
Nothing that can't wait. Thank you all. Buy my shirt. Buy our shirt.
Yes, ProWrestlingTees.com.
Buy my shirt, Wolfpack style.
Awoo! Stay tuned for the rant. If you're listening live, don't forget to check out everybody on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Check out everybody over on the Rant, Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com.
Bye.